It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
Yeah, I'm American made. I got American parts. Got American faith. In America's heart. Go on, raise the flag. I got stars in my eyes. I'm in love with her. And I won't apologize.
And longtime Speak Out listeners will know that music because it means the air conditioning guy, District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould is on the show. I had to get a plug in for
good,
you.
Good job. I don't have my volume turned up, but
you don't. It's right there.
Oh, I
come on. You've been how many years have you been doing this show?
Like 20 years,
something like that.
Yeah.
Were you here when Cleverly was here?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
I like to talk about Cleverly with Sam. Sam loves that. You know, the whole boot licking toady comment.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And I already introduced you, so I can't get trolled by email. I have a person who likes to play Mr. Producer off the air.
Oh, yeah.
And says, well, you didn't introduce your guest in the first, you know, 5 seconds. So that's why.
Oh, is that the rule?
That's why I snuck in. I don't know. Are there rules?
I get trolled by people that send me cards of aborted babies.
Oh, man.
And then trying to blame the Hobbs election on me.
All right, all right. I like my troll
so there.
Better than, my troll's classier than your troll.
Yeah, and then they're too gutless to put the return address on the postcard.
That's crazy. It's Friday the 13th, folks. Friday, January 13th, 2023. And we're with District 5, Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould, of course. Got a really good show today. Lined up the staff attorney for the Goldwater Institute, John Thorpe. And I'm going to have him explain the whole thing. It's just crazy what the NFL and the city of Phoenix are doing with downtown Phoenix as they prep for the big game, as we call it here, you know, in news circles. Well, in the news, you can say Super Bowl.
Can you?
But in advertisements, you cannot.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Right.
That's what I'll call it, the big game or
right,
something.
Right. That's
everybody, so that you know what they're talking about, but they don't have to pay the royalty.
Well, it's a. I think.
And the
it's
game
a,
is in Glendale anyway.
I don't think it's a royalty issue. I believe that is a copyrighted name, the Super Bowl.
Sure. I'm sure you could pay them to use the
right
name if you wanted
to. So you
to
can't. Well, maybe.
It's interesting, though. The game's in Glendale. It's not even in Phoenix.
Yes, that's correct. That's a good point. We should bring that up with John Thorpe. Anyway, we put this out on the news, and interesting, I'm getting a phone call already. I don't think it's our. He's supposed to be calling in at 11:30. So anyway, I put this out on the news about Bloomfest, and they're still looking for volunteers. Volunteers can sign up by going to the website, HavasuBalloonFestival.com. It's estimated they need 400 more volunteers.
Wow.
And this starts a week from today or a week from yesterday?
Yeah, I'd read it in the newspaper. They were still looking for volunteers.
Right. And there's a special meeting, and volunteers that have already signed up can go to the London Bridge Resort tomorrow, 9 a.m. to noon. Pick up your badge, your T-shirt, your basket of, I don't know what they give the volunteers.
Whatever swag that they're using to bribe you to participate.
Ron brought up a really good point before the show.
Yeah, I think they need to, the Balloon Fest needs to pair up with maybe the sailboat races, because inevitably the wind blows or it doesn't blow on either of those two events, so at least somebody would be happy no matter what the weather.
That's funny. I remember there being a sailboat event years ago here.
Yeah.
Pocket boats, I think they
called
them.
Yeah, and I was going someplace, and I'd look out on the lake, and I go, oh, there's the boats. And then I come back in the afternoon, hey, the boats are still in the same place.
So they were in the doldrums?
Yeah, it was just...
That's what they call them, right?
Yeah, it was
when you're out on the
not
ocean.
A breath of breeze.
That's pretty funny.
Then they had a jet ski event the following weekend, and it was a gale force.
Oh, yeah, perfect for, you know, the jet skis, right? All right, so this weekend we have a lot of sports going on. It starts with tonight, the Suns at the Timberwolves, 6 p.m. tip-off. We got Kentucky Wildcats and the Tennessee Vols. That's 9:45 tomorrow morning. And then NFL playoffs get kicked off tomorrow, 2 p.m., the Seahawks at the Niners. Now, this is really interesting. I heard this yesterday. So Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the Niners, right? Pete Carroll is the coach of the Seahawks. Kyle Shanahan's dad is Mike Shanahan, longtime NFL coach. He coached the Broncos to a Super Bowl, I believe. But Mike Shanahan's like a legend. I thought he was like mid-70s, almost 80, right? He's 70 years old.
Huh.
Pete Carroll is 71. He's actually older than Mike Shanahan, and he's coaching against Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle. It's just kind of funny if you know the NFL, like a lot of us that follow it, that Pete Carroll is older than Mike Shanahan. That's just crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's 71 years old, and Kyle's dad is 70. So there you have it. I wouldn't want to
be praising God that he still has the ability to work at 71.
I think the bigger point is if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I have a stronger team than the Seahawks this year, but I wouldn't want to be coaching against Pete Carroll in this situation.
Sure.
I just wouldn't. It's almost like coaching against Yoda, you know, when your dad is Yoda Jr. or something. Anyway, the full schedule of the NFL playoffs, because there's three more games on Sunday and then Monday's game with Dallas at Tampa. All of that is at KNTRSports.com. And you also got Balloon Festival Golf Tournament is tomorrow. You can get more information on that. I think you can enter at the event 733-0876. That's area code 928-733-0876. Call the chairman, Lisa Theopoulos, if you want more information or, you just want to go play in that golf tournament. The check-in is at 7, shotgun start at 8, and that's at Lake Havasu Golf Club West. So there you have it. So you've been in the news lately, Mr. Man, Mr. Supervisor Gould, as far as the ARPA money goes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why reporters get subjective, but we talked about this before the show as well. How is it that the Gould Give Back is a failed program?
No, he misunderstood what I said.
Did you ask him if he misunderstood what you said? Because it said in the article that your program was a failed program.
Right. No, we brought it up.
I don't consider that failed.
No, what I said was that the ARPA program out of Washington is a failed program.
Absolutely.
That just spends money that didn't need to be spent and caused an increase in inflation because they expanded the money supply. That's what I was calling a failure, not my own program was less successful than I would have liked it to be because I couldn't get everybody to participate, but it's not a failed program. Then now with the new ownership of all the newspapers, if you get a strange quote in one, you get a strange quote countywide.
That's absolutely right.
I think I even saw that on a Google alert at some newspaper out of Texas picked it up. I don't know why on earth they thought it was newsworthy in Texas.
They
might have saw me on Steve Bannon's War Room the week before or something, though.
I don't think it's the fact that it's newsworthy. I think it's the fact that it's innovative.
Yeah.
You're actually giving government money directly to the citizens of that government.
Right. And I had a gentleman tell me thank you yesterday, talking to him on another subject, and he appreciated it. And I think most people appreciate it if they understood it. But I think what happened is the application ended up looking like a welfare application that you emailed out 28,000 of those, and people looked at it and went, I don't qualify, and threw the paperwork away. So right. I will probably never do another. Hopefully they won't send us a big batch of money like that ever again, so we won't have to do it again. But I think that, you know, you learn things from every time you do something, you could do it the second time better.
Are you keeping track of the trillions that have been spent by this administration so far?
Well, the national debt now is $31 trillion. But you don't know what the money – they no longer report the money supply.
So Trump in his Trump in his 4 years – I'm not saying Trump spent it, but the congressional allocations in 4 years was $7.1 trillion. Okay?
So if you add the budgets up for the 4 years
– In two years, the Biden administration has spent somewhere between $5.8 and $6.2 trillion.
Right.
In 2 years.
Which is ridiculous because they won't control the border. But even like the BLM, they don't have enough money to actually police the federal lands that they have.
You need to clarify what BLM stands
for. Bureau of
for.
Land Management,
thank
which
you.
Is the federal agency that manages over 80% of Arizona and a majority of most of the western states, because the federals would not give their public land back to the states following the admission of Nebraska into the union.
I just wanted to clarify there that we're not talking about a minority group.
Right. All right. Right. That still doesn't come up first in my search in my brain. It's the Bureau of Land Management.
Mine neither. I'm just saying if I do the news, I have to. I can't say BLM anymore.
It was interesting because we had.
If it's in a news story.
We had a person from the Bureau of Land Management come to the Board of Supervisors a couple of months ago complaining about illegal dumping on their land, on federal land.
Right.
And it's like, we asked, why don't you take care of it? It's your land. And he said, we don't have the money to take care of it. But yet they can create, you know, $7 trillion worth of debt. But yet they don't fund the things that they're supposed to take care of.
So anyway, back to the ARPA money. And if you want to call in and talk to Supervisor Ron Gould, by the way, as always, 928-854-5687, 928-854-5687. KNTR. You might want to put that in your phone so it's easy to access.
Sure.
You designated, or the board designated, I should say, after the suggestion for the Boys and Girls Club's Fort Mojave branch, the new facility. They have a whole new building now. No more renting out space in other buildings.
Right.
And the Golden Shores Community Association. Kind of explain what that money goes to.
And
how much?
The Golden Shores Community Association, I believe, was about $30,000. And it's for upgrading their lighting to high-efficiency lighting.
Oh, excellent. That's a money saver right there.
Right. It'll save them money on their power bill, brightens up the facility. The county leases part of that facility from them to run the senior meals program, Meals on Wheels program.
So the nice part about an allocation like that is it's sustainable, is what they call it.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to make.
It's going to save them 1/10 the energy for lighting.
Right.
That's sustainable.
They had trouble getting somebody to give them a bid because everybody's so darn busy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And she was kind of, one guy gave her a seat of the pants, and I said, I don't really want to give you money on the seat of the pants. Let's get a real bid.
What do you mean by seat of the pants?
Well, the guy didn't come take a look at the facility.
Oh.
But then I said, let's get somebody out there and give you a solid bid, and that's what we did. Because I didn't want to give them, you know, the amount that I thought the amount they were asking for was too low to do the job.
So sight unseen bid.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 30 will cover it.
Yeah. Which kind of means they're just blowing you off, you know.
Right. In other words, he didn't think the organization could come up with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know what the guy
more
was thinking.
More or less.
Either
I'm guessing.
He's just busy.
Right.
Everybody is busy, and you can't find any help.
So back to the Boys and Girls Club, that's a $100,000 allocation, correct?
Right. And that's towards their new facility that they're building in Fort Mojave.
That's nice. That's really, and it's been needed for many, many, many years, I can tell you firsthand.
They run an after-school program for students. Because you think about it, it's pretty rare now that there's a parent home when that child gets home from school.
Right.
So that something needs to be done with the kids, since that's a safe place to have those kids be, so their folks can feel safe about it and then can finish out their work day without worrying about what's going on with their kid.
Well, the club used to have a branch at the Fort Mojave Elementary School.
Oh, did they?
But the attendance was wasn't what was expected. Now think about this, Ron. What kid wants to stay in school after school?
Right.
Right? And that was the problem.
Yeah, that was probably an easy way to do it, though, because all the kid had to do was walk over there.
It was super easy, but that's what, and it was in a classroom that wasn't being used,
mm-hmm.
and just executive leadership just determined that what kid wants to stay in school after school?
Yeah.
It's like being in detention almost.
Yeah.
it didn't have a social recreation room. It wasn't somewhere where you could play Foursquare. It was more or less a study room.
Right. And the new place has got a sports field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All kinds of stuff.
Right.
It'll be great.
Kids want to run off all that pent-up energy after school.
Sure, and get them off the computer screen for a bit and at least use their muscles somewhere.
Absolutely. You know what?
Muscles other than their thumb muscles.
We should take a short break and come back. We'll talk with a little bit more with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. I'm Paul Lavoie, and hopefully we'll have Goldwater Institute special attorney. I don't want to say special counsel. That sounds crazy. Staff attorney from the Goldwater Institute, John Thorpe. So I'm not sure if he tried to call in earlier or not. I'm going to verify that during the break. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us. A little Rodney Atkins on this Friday the 13th with County Supervisor Ron Gould. Do you really want to be associated with Friday the 13th, though?
And my mom was born on Friday the 13th.
As long as it's not during the campaign, right?
Yeah.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys! Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, and Les Olson IT. Check them out online at lesolson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, OLSON.com/Kingman. And Mojave Mortgage, actually, Chad texted me top of the show, wanted me to remind everybody there's racing at Havasu 95 Speedway tomorrow.
What kind of racing?
Auto racing.
That's a dirt track, so they have...
No, it's a concrete.
Is it?
It's asphalt.
I thought they had a dirt track there, too.
I know they have a dirt infield.
They raced outlaw sprint cars there once upon a time.
Well, it is asphalt now,
okay.
And racing starts at 2. Chad tells me that his class will be on at 3, and hopefully that'll be before any wet stuff comes down from the sky.
They run rain or shine?
I don't know about that.
It's mostly, those shine. Guys would mostly have to, shine around here. But
those guys would have to get rain tires, right? Which is another expense.
Yep.
Not that they don't have enough expenses as it is. Also, you got a text from listener Jack. Jack's been a KNTR talk star. He was our first one, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Jack wants to know, are you in your new digs?
Yeah, we are, as a matter of fact. Over at the county building on College and just a little, what's that, east of Lake Havasu Avenue. At the county building, it's 3,000.
What about the
dig? 2001 College Drive.
Nice. That was your puker voice,
yeah,
as we call it in radio.
Yeah, and I had an office on McCullough, which is not in my district. So the county building's actually in my district, and they were going to build an office for me, and the price kept going up and up, and it got up to like $175,000 at one point, and I just said, no, I'm not spending that much money. You guys need to come up with another solution. So about a year later, they came up with a vacancy in the building. They'd moved some of the community development people over to the DES building, so that freed it up. So they were able to build the office for $34,000, which is pretty reasonable.
Jack also wants to thank you for the Gould Give Back.
Oh, you're welcome.
So it wasn't a failed program.
Yeah.
Come on, Harold.
The federal program is a failed program.
That's right. Come on, Harold. Try to keep
up. The local program was was a success, but right. I could wish it would have been more successful.
So we're actually, as a program side note, we're going to have County Supervisor, District 1 County Supervisor Travis Lingenfelter on the program.
Oh, good.
And he's going to be on the 30th, which is a Monday.
Yeah, he's chairman now.
Yep.
He took over. I did my
chairman now, not Chairman Mao.
Right.
Gotcha.
I did my year last year, so we rotate every year.
If in case, you know, those people that may be a little hard of hearing, he said chairman now. So there you have
currently.
It. Currently. Right. Currently chairman.
The chairman of the Mojave County Board of Supervisors.
Before John calls in from the Goldwater Institute, which we have confirmed he has not called yet. I was getting some spam phone call. What else is happening in the district or with the county that's pressing right now?
We've decided to build a morgue. We've never had a morgue.
Right.
We contracted with a medical examiner, and we used his facility. He's getting ready to retire, so we have to come up with something else. They were looking at building it at the administrative building on Andy Devine, but you have an odor issue with morgues.
You think?
So you staff went and talked to Coconino County and to Yavapai County, what they had done, any advice they would have for us. And they essentially said build it in the middle, out in the middle of nowhere because there's an odor problem. So we were going to build it down on Shinarump in Golden Valley.
I don't know if you're familiar with that odor, but there's just not enough mentholatum deep heating rub to put on your upper lip to get rid of that odor.
Yeah.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
Right.
No, and think if you think about it, it's a desert climate. A lot of times they have to store evidence for long periods of time and whatnot. It just would have been, I felt it was unwise to build it at the county administrative building.
So there's three sites up for consideration, correct?
We already picked the site.
You did pick the site.
Yeah, it's the site at Shinarump.
Okay. But I thought there were two there in Golden Valley.
Yeah, they had one further by the Griffith Power Plant.
Mm-hmm.
We decided it was better. The Shinarump location would work better.
Why? Just in a nutshell, why is it a better site?
The utilities were there. It was a cheaper site to build on than the one at Griffith.
What's the timeline on the new morgue? Do you know?
I don't know, but we're supposed to be bringing that whole operation back in-house. We'd been trying for years to find a private
coroner,
medical examiner, coroner, mm-hmm. to come in and replace the Dr. Mosley that's been that for several years. No one's interested in doing. They want to work for the county. They don't want to be a contractor.
So Mosley's like a retired consultant now, correct?
Yeah, he works for John Haslett.
Hassett, yeah.
Yeah, that used to own funeral homes, but I think he's since sold his funeral homes.
That's that old Desert Lawn funeral home
right,
that he owned,
right,
correct.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So we couldn't find anybody to take it over. He was willing to take it over. We had to do something, and it ended up, it's been kind of a hassle.
Well,
so to speak.
You know, the Fox 10 reports didn't help.
No.
But it was enlightening nonetheless that they did that investigative report.
Sure.
It opened a lot of people's eyes, so.
Sure.
Including, I would think, our board.
Yeah.
Our supervisor board. All right, we're going to take a short break. I'm pretty sure John Thorpe is on the line, the staff attorney for the Goldwater Institute. We've got a pretty big issue brewing right now in downtown Phoenix that concerns the NFL and the city council in Phoenix. Man, what don't they get themselves into in the great state of Maricopa?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just leave people alone.
Right. All right, back with more in a moment. We've got District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould on the program. And we'll be back after a short break. Stay with us.
Some say this country is just out looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. How it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers failed?
All right, we're back with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould, and a pretty cool conversation off the air with the representative from the Goldwater Institute. And how many Goldwater Institute guests have we had on your segment?
A lot.
I wish I had a dollar for
quite
everyone.
Yeah, I used to be their poster child when I was in the legislature. They used to have a scorecard where they rated the legislature. So I was number one, I think, 7 of 8 years. And the eighth year, my Padawan learner senator beat me by a point.
Well, if I had a dollar for every time we had Goldwater Institute on, I could probably buy the whole office Starbucks.
There you go.
See, it's not that many, but it's a lot. Because that's not cheap coffee,
that's
right?
That's true.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union. Also, Mojave Community College. My favorite word used twice and differentiated by an apostrophe. You know that. You know it, right? Come on.
I'm drawing a blank.
Herbs,
herbs. Oh, there you go.
There you go. Samsguns.com and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. Man, I thought you had the Speak Out trivia down.
I was spaced. I'm sorry.
All right. Without further ado, let's introduce John Thorpe. He is a staff attorney for the Goldwater Institute. And this is a one of those issues. Man, John, anyway, welcome to the show. But
it's not quite as cool as nibbling fish.
No, the cool part is
the nibbling fish pedicure thing.
Oh, right, right. No, John, the cool part is the NFL, again, can't seem to stay out of its own way.
Yeah, nice to meet you both. Thanks for having me on. We've had a lot of quirky cases, but this is was definitely a shocker for me when I first learned about it.
Anyway, what we're talking about, so we haven't really explained this to the listeners, but this week Goldwater sued the city of Phoenix defending a local business owner's rights after the city let the NFL censor signs on private property in the weeks surrounding the Super Bowl. Now, you're the lead attorney on this issue, correct?
That's right.
Tell us the status of it. What's going on?
Well, just to give you a little case update, we filed a lawsuit against the city at the beginning of this week after about a month of talks with the city. We're still in talks with the city, and we're still hoping that they'll do the right thing and repeal this resolution, which is blatantly unconstitutional for several reasons. But at this point, the clock is ticking. The Super Bowl is less than a month away, and residents in the downtown area need clarity on what they're allowed to do.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? The city's calling this a clean zone in the city of Phoenix, but the game's being played in Glendale. As Ron pointed out to me earlier, I thought, you know, you're right. It's at State Farm Stadium in Glendale. Why are they so worried about a clean zone in Phoenix if the game's being played in Glendale?
That's right. We've reminded them of that from time to time. The game's not even here. There are quite a few Super Bowl-related festivities in the downtown area associated with the NFL. The big one for this case is at a park called Hans Park. It's in the downtown area, and it's going to be the site of a huge Super Bowl party for a few days around the event. About 1.5 million people are expected to attend. And our client has a piece of property right across the street from Hans Park, so prime location, incredible visibility. And when he learned about this, he was excited to take advantage of the visibility and the big crowds and put up some signage on his property to spread share a message with all his crowds. He reached out to some companies about the possibility of putting up some signage, and the response was, well, we can't even talk to you because we see you're in a clean zone. And if we do that, the NFL has to approve whatever kind of signage we put up.
So was he trying to advertise his own business, or was he selling the signage out to a third party?
He was hoping to sell it out to a third party.
Okay.
Any business that's interested in sharing their message to come, he'd put up their signs on his property.
Can you say who the business is?
Well, he's reached out to several businesses, and the response has been consistent. These businesses are familiar with this kind of situation. They know the NFL has these clean zones pretty much every year at the Super Bowl, and that they won't allow anything that's not either an NFL sponsor or somehow approved by the NFL.
Right.
The resolution, in fact, actually is much broader than that. It applies to any kind of signage, whether the business signage, advertising, even just personal private signs on your own property. But it certainly does give the NFL power to censor any kind of competitor's speech.
I'm wondering, Ron, if I can get away with it if I say it's official sponsor of the NFL or something. What kind of signs are we talking about here? Are we talking about American flags? Are we talking about, are they offended by Trump flags? Are they offended by certain sayings? Or is it just anything has to go through them?
Well, that's part of the problem. We don't know, and residents certainly don't know. The resolution just says temporary signage. The wording of the resolution is all temporary signage within the special promotional and civic event area. That's not been authorized by the NFL. And they don't define signage in the resolution. Certainly there are a lot of city ordinances on temporary signage in the zoning code, but it's not even clear, you know, whether that ties into this, if the resolution is a standalone thing. Just looking at the plain language, you know, putting myself in the shoes of somebody who happens to live downtown, I read temporary signage, and that could be all kinds of things. That could be an advertisement, like you might think of, but it could also be a restaurant menu taped to the window.
Right.
It could be a for sale sign in somebody's yard. I've seen signs in people's yards saying, "Don't let your dog poop in my yard." Yeah. It could be that even.
Yeah.
It's vague, and that's part of the problem with these kinds of speech restrictions, is when you have a vague law like this that you don't even know what it applies to or how it's going to be enforced as a chilling effect. And speech that people might have otherwise engaged in, they won't even try because they're afraid of getting in trouble.
The bizarre rub is that they're letting a third party say yay or nay on the sign on your own property.
Well, and it's a two-part process. You have to get approval from the city and the NFL?
That's right. So the process, it seems like you submit your application to the city, and then the deadline for submitting applications through this unconstitutional process is actually already passed. But businesses or residents would have to submit their plan to the city, and the city would run it by somebody apparently at the NFL or the host committee to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. There's not a lot of transparency here, but that's the best we understand of what the city was doing.
John, can you tell us, again, we're talking to John Thorpe. He's a staff attorney for the Goldwater Institute on this case involving the Phoenix City Council and the NFL and signage restrictions within a clean zone in Phoenix. Can you tell me when this decision was made by the city?
Well, the city enacted the resolution we're challenging, the city enacted in October.
Oh.
They had another similar clean zone resolution. I think they enacted back in February, somewhere around there. So that one had been in place for a long time. But then they modified it, and the one that's actually in effect now, was mid-October, they put that into place.
So what is the city?
Go ahead.
What is the city actually doing about what it calls the zone, which is all the homeless encampments? That can't look good for people that are visiting for the Super Bowl.
I'm so glad you bring that up. Yeah,
Thank you.
A great point, because we've got this just incredible contrast. We've got the so-called clean zone,
right,
and then literally right next door, you know, right across the street, we've got another zone, which is this massive homeless encampment downtown. Goldwater's actually involved in litigation over that, too, representing people who are unlucky enough to be caught in the middle of that. The city is enforcing, you know, no kind of law and order. They've abdicated all responsibility.
Right.
That's
what they really set up here in this clean zone. It's a kind of Potemkin village. They're having these huge crowds come for the Super Bowl, and it seems like they want to put on a good show and put their best foot forward. That's understandable. But if they really care about residents, they'd be taking care of the residents next door in the homeless zone.
Yeah,
instead, they're leaving them completely out to dry while censoring the speech of the residents across the street.
We actually talked to a representative from the Goldwater Institute about that zone somewhere around the election. I'm not sure if you were on that show or not, Ron, but that's just a lawless zone. It's like the one they had in Seattle.
Yeah, it's like Portland.
Or Portland, that's what I meant, Portland.
Oh, it's awful. I work in the area, and I'm a little afraid to drive through there. You know, it's crazy, and it's gotten a lot worse in the last few years, so I can't even imagine for businesses.
Yeah,
businesses that have been there 30, 40 years, and they've got no recourse at this point.
Yeah, you end up with your business inside of the homeless camp.
Right, right, absolutely.
But I guess you can you put a sign up in the zone?
Yeah, fortunately,
help,
it seems like that's one thing you can do.
I'm not
sure they're enforcing much of anything there, but yeah, it's at least outside the clean zone.
You can hold up a sign that says, "We'll work for food."
Yeah.
Does the NFL have to approve of that, too? But all joking aside, when do you go to court on this?
Well, we filed a lawsuit earlier this week. This court set a hearing date for a return hearing on our application for a temporary restraining order next Wednesday, I believe, the 18th. So we got a pretty short fuse on this case. We really need relief quick because our client, Bramley, there's not much time left to work out an advertising deal and go through the ordinary approval process. So we're hoping to be able to get relief very quickly, either relief from the court or the city do the right thing and repeal this unconstitutional ordinance.
Yeah, it doesn't do him any good to get relief after the event because then he won't be able to put up any signs.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a hollow victory for him at that point. John, and we've been in talks with the city. The city has indicated publicly that it plans to address this ordinance on the 24th, I think, at a city council meeting. But there's no guarantee of what it'll do, and that's barely 3 weeks away from Super Bowl at that point.
Well, and them saying that, too, correct me if I'm wrong, but now that you've already filed the paperwork, they can go right to executive session saying this is a legal matter.
Yeah, that's my understanding, is it is a legal matter. There's a lawsuit, so there's not a lot of transparency or clarity on what they're planning to do at this point. You know, the ball's in their court. It's their resolution. They can defend it. Not sure how. I think it's pretty clear it's unconstitutional. Or they can do right by their residents and stop censoring speech.
Right. The expediency of the issue is why we had you on today. And I really want to thank you for being on the show so quickly after we got this email. Again, I mentioned that earlier. But if we waited till the next Friday that Ron's on, this is a perfect fit for District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. But if we waited till that Friday, that's the Friday before the Super Bowl. So hopefully this will be resolved by then. Are you dealing with the city attorney on this? How's that work?
Yeah, we've been in talks with the city attorney's office. Like I said, we've been in talks for over a month now since we sent our demand letter outlining the problems with the resolution and asking for assurance that it wasn't going to be applied against Bramley.
Well, it's just very interesting that this issue is popping up in Phoenix, downtown Phoenix, when the game's in Glendale.
Yeah.
Ron brought up that point, and I'm like, wow, genius.
I wonder if
I didn't think of that.
If Glendale has the same sign restrictions.
You know, that's a really good point.
Actually, there's an Indian casino right by the stadium. The Indian casino can do whatever it darn well pleases. So.
Yeah, that's
interesting kind of, an interjurisdictional.
Because they actually have property rights.
You know, John, there's an idea. You could put that in your motion.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know there are some county islands too, I think in the Glendale. So there is a Glendale clean zone.
Yeah, I own property in there.
It's huge. It's a mile radius.
I own
the stadium up there. It includes a bunch of neighborhoods.
Right.
Oh, you have some property up there?
Yeah, I own property in a county island in Glendale. So I should put a big sign up.
You should.
Yeah, if you want to be a last-minute challenger. It's interesting.
Hey, NFL, take this sign down.
Yeah.
Just something like that.
Come and take it.
Yeah, that's funny.
The Glendale one's a little different. It focuses more on commercial signage and business activity. But these clean zones, the NFL has host cities put these clean zones in effect in one form or another. Virtually every time there's a Super Bowl or Super Bowl related events, like in Phoenix.
They do the same thing at the Fiesta Bowl?
I'm not aware of any for the Fiesta Bowl. That's a good question. I know a lot of mega events that NCAA tournaments, often there are similar clean zones. Definitely the Super Bowl. We've heard that there hasn't been an Olympics in the U.S. for a while, but when that happens, apparently host cities have similar kind of clean zones. So this is it's amazing how widespread this is because it's just so clearly a speech violation. But apparently the city has been getting away with this for a long time. Now that we're involved in the fight, we're not going to back down. We'll challenge these wherever we find them.
John, do you know if the city of Phoenix is actively going to pursue violators, like with code enforcement, that sort of thing?
They've said so. Yeah, they had a few info sessions for businesses and residents where they said, you know, normally signage complaint, but it's sort of complaint driven. We don't actually go out and look for violations. But now with Super Bowl coming up, we're going to be doing sweeps. We're going to have officers out for violations.
I know the zoning NFL Gestapo will be in full force.
They have a whole enforcement team. Where they'll be, I'm sure they'll be around looking for anything that's problematic for them. At least that seems to be a standard practice.
So apparently the NFL gets better treatment than an average citizen that might make a zoning complaint.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a there's a fast track for theirs versus calling about your neighbor. The special treatment, the kind of disparity between what the NFL gets from the city and what city's own residents get from them. The city has a sacred duty to be upholding its residents' constitutional rights. It's supposed to be defending those rights, not selling them out for mega events like this.
You know, Ron, a good newspaper editor would put the term Goodell's or Goodell's goons in the headline, right? The sign Gestapo or Goodell's Gestapo when it comes to the sign ordinance. That's just crazy. Well, John, we'd like to wish you the best of luck with this. And as I understand it, the city council met in executive session just this week about this issue?
That's right. They had a meeting. They apparently addressed the issue. Like you said, it was an executive session, so we don't know what they said. We know the issue is not resolved yet, and supposedly they're planning to address it again on the 24th. But so far, they haven't given residents what they need to speak freely.
As a media person, Ron, I always see executive session on the agenda.
Sure.
And I think they just go into that room, take a break, you know, maybe they can't smoke a cigar, obviously, like back in the day, and then they look at each other and go, yeah, they think we're actually doing something in here, but we're just taking a break.
I've never been in an executive session that was like that.
Isn't that right,
John?
That's
my disclaimer.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Probably a good snack table back there.
Right.
Who knows?
All right, John Thorpe.
Confidential.
John Thorpe, staff attorney for the Goldwiner Institute. Thanks so much for being on in such short notice. We sure appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Here.
Thank you.
We appreciate it here on Speak Out. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Good luck with your case, by the way.
Thank you. Bye. Have a
All
good
right.
one.
You too. All right, let's take a short break. We'll leave ourselves some time at the end of the hour to talk about whatever District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Maybe you have some announcements or something. Usually you come in with something that's
earth-shattering.
Yeah, that you want to give to the, you know, your constituents in District 5.
Sure. I'm looking for some appointees, but off the top of my head, I need to know what the list is.
Ah, let's get that from the office.
That's what I'm
Maybe
doing.
Maybe we'll have it when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue.
Many gangsters doing dirty deeds. Too much corruption and crime in the streets. It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
Send them all to their maker and he'll settle on down.
Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list.
It wouldn't be a Ron Gould segment without that snippet right there.
Theme song?
Yeah, exactly. And you got to cue it up just to the right place, you know?
Otherwise, you got to listen to the whole thing. The whole thing's good, though.
Exactly. So you have some news.
Banned by NBC.
Yes. Banned by NBC, correct. You had some news or updates on board appointments. We have about less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, I have some board appointments to make, but I don't know what they are.
What? Oh, your assistant's at lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good. Valerie.
It's my fault. I should have brought the list with me.
Valerie, you should be.
But we'll be putting out a press release on those potential board appointments.
You should be.
We always have, if you're interested in serving on a board or commission, give my office a call. Because we almost always have a vacancy on something.
Okay, well, what's the board they did away with?
The Transportation Commission.
What?
The Transportation
but
Commission.
I heard you, but it was a rhetorical what.
I know.
But why?
I don't know. I was amazed that they did it. What the?
Does that mean no light rail?
Yeah, no light rail. Dang, no light rail.
Right.
The board was two appointees from each of the five districts, and they met on transportation needs, explored transportation needs around the county, and made recommendations to the Board of Supervisors on how we should spend our highway money. But they did away with that, so I guess it just we decide amongst ourselves how we're going to spend the highway money, which is fine, but it's somewhat disappointing because they just got the Transportation Commission figured out on how to get what I want out of them, and then they disbanded it.
They dissolved it?
Yeah. 4-1.
That's crazy.
I believe it was a 4-1 vote.
I was so looking forward to that monorail with the three cities.
Yeah.
Or the light rail. Yeah. Well, monorail would be even cooler.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Well, here we go. The library. Hang on.
See that, Valerie?
Now she's sending.
She's amazing. She's got to be listening via stream.
Good job, Val.
Or probably went and got something because you're such a taskmaster. She had to go out of the office to go grab something and then heard us on the radio in her car.
So it's the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Library.
Uh-huh.
And the Merit Commission. The Merit Commission is if a county employee gets fired, they can appeal their firing or the disciplinary action. So that's a private committee that meets and takes a look at whether that was a just termination or not.
I got you.
So if you're interested in serving on those, give my office a call.
What'd you think of the staff attorney for the Goldwater
Institute?
Did a
good job.
That's a crazy case.
Did a good job. Yeah, it's not as crazy as the nibbling fish one.
Right.
Pedicure. That's the most craziest of all.
I remember that. Oh, man.
But no, they do good work and they keep government in line.
If I want to put my feet in a tub full of fish to nibble off the skin, why can't I?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's America, dang it.
Stay tuned for Speak Out 2.0 coming up next. After news and a short break, we'll see you on Monday.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.